Welcome, everybody. Glad to see you here today. We have a couple of announcements here. We have Adult Sunday School, and it's been great. I encourage you to come and just share. We just are going through our daily bread, which I've ordered more. If you don't have one, I've ordered more. Donna's been taking copies, so but they told me it would be a week or two, so maybe next week we'll have them. We pray hard enough. And anyway, great sharing, great time to just connect with each other. I think it's good. We have prayer meeting on Wednesdays at 7 o'clock. And if you go to the website, you can go right onto it if you have Zoom. It's a great time to just pray for everybody in the congregation or people's cares and concerns. So. Food pantry, we have gleaners on Wednesday. Be here by 10:55 because at 11 o'clock it goes. Josh is telling us how fast the food has been going. So it was about 5 minutes. That's pretty fast. So, and if you know somebody that's in need, we have a great food pantry. I encourage you to send them to Sherry or Helen. It would be, it's a great way of getting them some help. So we don't want anybody going hungry. And speaking of not going hungry, today is potluck. So after church, be sure and come down and have potluck and share with us. That's a good time. So it's great to all be together. If you are now or have ever been a teacher, please stand up. There you go. Happy Teacher Appreciation Week. Yay! And we do appreciate teachers. We do appreciate teachers. So we're very thankful for teachers. That's great. What? I'm a teacher. I'm a facilitator. I'm not a teacher. I'm learning right along with everybody. Okay, so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we are just so thankful. We are thankful to have you here in our midst, Lord, that we have a place that we can come and worship you. We can come and praise your name, Lord, and we can forget about the world outside and just concentrate on you. We praise you for Pastor Teresa, Lord, and we just ask a special blessing on her as she shares what you have put on her heart for this week, Lord. And we thank you in advance that we can grow and learn from that. So we just praise your name for that. Be with us as we sing these songs, Lord. Let them just be music to your ears. There's some great words in some of these, so we just thank you for that. We give you all praise and glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So we are singing a cappella today, so that means everybody gets to sing loud. So let's stand, and we're first going to go to our call to worship, and it's Job 37, verses 23 and 24.
Mighty God, far beyond our reach, unsurpassable in power and justice, it's unthinkable that he'd treat anyone unfairly. So bow to him in deep reverence, one and all. If you're wise, you'll most certainly worship him.
Wow, what words. All right, so our first song, Down at the Cross.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where he took me in. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast your poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name.
Amen. He keeps me singing.
There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee. Peace be still. In all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Feasting on the riches of his grace, resting 'neath his sheltering wing. Always looking on his smiling face, that is why I shout and sing. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Soon he's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown. I shall reign with him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
Amen. I must tell Jesus.
I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, he kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for his own. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is a kind, compassionate friend. If I but ask him, he will deliver, make of my troubles quickly an end. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Tempted and tried I, need a great Savior, one who can help my burdens to bear. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, He all my cares and sorrows will share. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Oh, how the world to evil allures me. Oh, my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus, and he will help me. Over the world, the victory to win. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone.
These songs are going just about with our lesson in Sunday school this week.
Perfect.
That we've been discussing. It just matches. So. It is well with my soul. I love this song. So.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. Sin, oh, the joy of this glory. sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my face shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well, it is well with my soul.
Amen. You may be seated.
I don't know about you, but on that course, a couple times I started to cry because I envisioned us sitting around the throne of grace in heaven, just singing, "Holy, holy, holy, are you Lord God Almighty?" And that's what we're supposed to do now because we are living eternal life, whether we're here or there yet. Amen? Wow. Had to belt it out a little more. Well, now is our time that if you're online, please remember you can go to Tithely and help support God's work here at Gales Creek. And for those of us here in person, we will take offering and just try to give back from how much He gives us. Father, Lord, thank you for the many gifts you have given. Nonetheless, just a glimpse of the overwhelming love, joy, and peace that we have now and will have with you in eternity. Thank you for this house to come and freely sing your praises, worship you, and get our hearts in the right position for every week, every day, every moment, every trial, every temptation, and every blessing. Amen. I don't know if you guys know, but if you have to stay home and you're on the Facebook feed, I'm always live with it during church. I figure that's one of my buddy pastor duties, you know, just do it. And so if you're ever home, and I know Vicky's done this a couple times, and I think Bill has done it once or twice, just leave a prayer request on there because I'm watching it so we can share with the whole church, okay? So I realized I hadn't really ever said that before, but good thing to say if you're out there watching virtually, don't be shy. Don't be shy. Because you know I'm not. So anyway, let's share our needs and our blessings with each other from this week. Bill. So Bill started with a praise that at work there seems to be an increasing receptiveness to God's presence there. And I don't know if you know that, but for me it's always been that if I'm working with believers, the room is more comfortable. And yeah, I like praise everywhere, not just, you know, home and church, but work too. And then he also lifted up my cousin Jeremy Marble, who has a toothache that's been bothering him. So prayer that will go away, get resolved, or figure out what's causing it and be able to be resolved. And then prayer for Wink and Phyllis Weber, who are not here with us today. Wink is getting sick and Phyllis is sick. So, yeah, they've had a lot of illness going. You know, when you're a spouse, you share a lot of things, and unfortunately, that's not good in this case, I'm sure. Yeah. Anybody else have a praise or a prayer request? Judy. Okay. She has been so chronic in her symptoms. So, okay. So, continuing prayer for Marie Hundley, who is really in a very subdued state of mind, and she's going to be going in for a CAT scan with a neurologist to try to see what is wrong and if anything can be done to make it right. So prayer for Marie Hundley. And then Dan, of course, when you're a spouse, you share in everything. So, Josh. So prayer for Mike and Pam Johnson, Josh's cousins, right? They're your cousins. And Mike has had an amputation, correct? His leg was amputated. So recovery and prayer for that, the wound back and everything. And then his wife, Pam, went home, fell down, and then ended up back in the hospital. Okay. So prayer that they can go to rehab together and share in that experience as spouses share everything. I think that's our theme for prayer today. They're sharing a room now, and actually that's a blessing right there, to get to share a room with your spouse instead of being all separated and wondering what's going on with the other one and not able to get up and go check. So that's a blessing right there in a tragedy. Anybody ever have those blessings coming out of tragedies? You didn't see them when you were in it, right? Yeah, absolutely. Okay, Sarah. And prayers for her husband as well while she's gone. I don't often get to be dance dad, but I will be dance dad this weekend and airsoft dad this weekend and dad this weekend, super dad this weekend. So Sarah had several leads she lifted up. First one was for Dayson Tiagonco, her co-worker's husband who had the open heart surgery on Wednesday. It went very well. And he's already actually been up walking around with support, but up and moving. It was quite an extensive open heart surgery. These days, you know that if it has to be open heart, it's extensive. Otherwise, they do it all from the inside. And then prayer for Alyssa Calgano, I think is her name. Grant. Okay, I couldn't remember which Alyssa. Anyway, Alyssa Grant, who's still, we've lifted her up many times in her continued fight with bone cancer. And if there was ever a modern day manifestation of Job, who still never stops to praise God through every setback, it's her. So continue to pray and lift her up. And then Sarah is going to be gone, and we wanted prayer over our family when she's gone. Safe travels for her and her sister. Her sister's having some health complications that really make it so she needs somebody to accompany her on the trip. And so Sarah is stepping up to do that for her sister. And a praise. What's your praise, Landon? Oh, mom's going to go to Colorado, huh? Denver, yeah. She'll have to look up some relatives of Judy's. What's your praise? Your birthday. He's turning 10 on the 10th. That's right. Debbie. You know, a lot of times in special ed, we say kids have a disability, but sometimes what we find out is it's a different ability, not necessarily dis, but different ability. Landon can learn from a kids YouTube video song faster than anybody I know, and he is a really fast learner when the disability can be out of play for a moment. First time, boom, he gets it. Haley? Mm-hmm. All right. So Haley has several praises. Grandma is here. It is potluck Sunday. And the weather yesterday was awesome. Her need for prayer is her ankle is not healing as hoped. And so prayer that it will turn a corner and start to feel better, but it's not feeling better yet. I think I saw Debbie with her hand up again. Maybe. So an update on Jeff Marble and the progress he's making with his leg. He hasn't had to have painkillers for the last 2 or 3 days, and he gets a real cast here shortly. He'll have that for 2 weeks, and then a boot for 3 weeks, and then PT, and hopefully all on the mend. Poor Jeff Marble, absolutely. And then there was something else I missed. Oh, Debbie, a praise about Dawson and I going over and hanging out at her place. And then she had a friend, Jen, come in the afternoon and help her more with landscaping. And so I can't go back. I can't wait to go back and see what that turned out like. But it won't be this Saturday. I'll be super dad two places at once. So, yeah. Yeah, you should have seen him kind of hanging all over the patio, hanging stuff up. It was great. My praise is for Debbie, that she allows us to come over and give Dawson a way to develop his work ethic, show his good character in an appreciated, safe place, and start working on that work ethic that will pay off in the future. And the other thing about it that's really awesome, and parents, you know this, it's giving him a chance to learn delayed gratification. He's got this airsoft part he wants that's about $450, and he's saving up for it. And, you know, this world has too much instant gratification that ends up being temptation. And we need to learn patience and hard work to get there. And Debbie, that's my praise for you, helping provide that place. And it's all about him. So that's what's the best part. Anybody else? Josh. Josh is just praising God for the Gleaner program and the people that are in it and getting along with them well and being able to serve so many people and get the food out the door. Yeah. Haley, back to you. whether you know it or not, you were the hands and feet of God right there. Yeah. So Haley's praising God for the opportunity to have served an elderly man at work, help him get up, and for somebody else to recognize the character trait of who she is and what a blessing Haley is. All right. Let's go together, family. Father, Lord, thank you for the endless blessings you give just into who you are, being present in our hearts and minds and souls. Thank you for being the rock upon which we can stand, the immovable, just, holy, righteous, and loving God. Forgive us, Lord, when we fall short of those ethics in our lives, when we fall short of behaviors that convey your love, when we get too busy to listen to the still, small voice of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, talk to us, though. Don't give up on us. Continuing whispering in our heart's ear and help us learn to listen. Thank you, God, for the many blessings you give us. Homes, cars, this church family, our biological families, communities to live in and minister to, jobs, to deal with the money that's needed in this world, and opportunities to serve and grow by doing so. Thank you, God, for the many blessings you have given. Thank you for the praises uttered here today of family members that could come and be with family members and be here today, and of praises of surgeries gone well, and the many needs shared for health as well. Imagery coming up to help determine what's going on in the physical mind, but not the heart that is yours. Lord, we lift up Marie Hundley, and we ask that the imagery this week help reveal what's going on for her and give a clear direction to proceed. Be with her husband Dan as well, Lord. We praise you for Jason Tiaganko. Lord, we lift up Alyssa Grant with her bone cancer. And Lord, we lift up Haley and her ankle that doesn't seem to be healing right. Holy Spirit, come and touch her body right now with your healing presence. Course through her veins and her nerves and begin that ankle to heal so that her heart of service can shine through even more. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to serve each other in this congregation and to spread that love back and forth and cement the bonds that you have given. Blessed be the ties that bind our hearts together in you. Lord, there are many other needs and praises that have been expressed. We lift them to your throne of grace. And we just say, holy, holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty, who was and is. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Finally, Lord, you command us to pray for our leaders, so we lift up those in positions of authority over us. Lord, we pray for teachers in the classroom. Lord, we pray for police on the street. We pray for all the politicians that have to make laws and try to guide. Give all of those people wisdom from your great storage of wisdom. And Father God, knock on the door of their hearts, that your love would fill them and flow through the decisions they make. Thank you, Lord, for Gales Creek. Thank you for this community. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the souls you've claimed to be part of it. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, kiddos. Let's see if you've got the joy, joy, joy. You ready, Landon? You can get this one. There's one big word you say over and over. Joy. 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 You say joy.
Joy.
Joy. Claire, can you say joy?
Joy.
Joy. I know Dawson can say joy.
Dodge.
Uh-huh. All right. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart, got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I have the love of Jesus in my heart, down in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I have the love of Jesus in my heart. I've got the love of Jesus down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart. Got the love of Jesus down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I have the love of Jesus in my heart, down in my heart.
Punching.
What are you? So very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. Father God, thank you for your love that permeates our hearts. Help us always be as children, barrierless to absorbing it and letting it overflow and become the source of strength in our lives. Father God, let your love ever flow into these little hearts and the big one over here, and let it forever empower them with the strength to deal with everything this life brings and still enter the kingdom to come. Amen.
Good morning. Another praise for those who serve our children and work with them in Children's Church. God bless you and have a great service. Today we are going to examine Jesus' goodbye to his disciples. Now, if you were with us, or maybe you weren't with us, so we'll catch you up to speed. Previously, we talked about seeing Jesus in daily life, you know, because sometimes he's standing there right next to us, standing right in plain sight, but sometimes we forget that he's even there. And then we want to take time to notice him and not overlook his presence. And then we talked about the importance of knowing his voice. So many voices that we can recognize. That of our family, our friends, celebrities, famous people on TV and in movies, even our favorite musicians and singers, right? We recognize their voices, but there's one most important voice that we need to be able to recognize, and that is of our loving Savior, Jesus Christ. If we know his voice, we can follow and be who God is calling us to be and do what he's calling us to do. So, as Jesus prepares his disciples for the final hours, he reminds them that if they believe who he is, they have seen God and therefore know God and then can live for God. So our text today is taken out of John chapter 14. I'm going to be sharing from the Message. Follow along in whichever translation that you prefer. John chapter 14 reads this. Don't let this rattle you. You trust God, don't you? Trust me. There is plenty of room for you in my Father's home. If that weren't so, would I have told you that I'm on my way to get a room ready for you? And if I'm on my way to get a room ready, I'll come back and get you so you can live where I live. And you already know the road I'm taking. And Thomas said, Master, we have no idea where you're going. How do you expect us to know the road? And then Jesus said, listen to his response, I am the road, also the truth, also the life. No one gets to the Father apart from me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. So he says to them, from now on, you do know him. You've even seen him. And Philip said, Master, show us the Father, and then we'll be content. Now, I like to think that Jesus gave him the side eye when he responded. You've been with me, Philip, and all this time, and you still don't understand? To see me is to see the Father. So how can you ask, where is the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you aren't mere words. I don't just make them up on my own. The Father who resides in me crafts each word into a divine act. Believe me, I am in my Father and my Father is in me. If you can't believe that, believe what you see. These works, he's talking about the miracles that he has performed. The person who trusts in me will not only do what I'm doing, but even greater things, because I, on my way to the Father, am giving you the same work to do that I've been doing. You can count on it, Jesus says. From now on, whatever you request along the lines of who I am and what I am doing, I'll do it. That's how the Father will be seen for who he is in the Son. I mean it. Whatever you request in this way, I'll do. Amen to God's word. Now, we all know those are some powerful words. Powerful words for Jesus to be speaking to his disciples. So now let's go back. Let's review the context. You know, I will always say this to us as Bible believers and students of the Word of God, you can't just read a scripture and go, oh, and run away with it. You have to get an understanding. So what is the context in which he is speaking? So let's go back and look at the context. Just the previous chapter, you have to read it to understand, why is he even saying these things? So Jesus is sharing these words of comfort and inspiration after telling his disciples again that he must leave them. And it's during the Passover celebration, if you go back a chapter, Jesus acts as a servant. He washes the disciples' feet because they've been arguing and bickering who's going to be the greatest among them. He says, if you want to be great, you got to serve. So he washes their feet. And as per usual, Peter speaks up first and loudly. Oh, well, I need my hands and my head washed too, Jesus. And Judas leaves to betray him. And Jesus gives the disciples a new commandment, which is to love one another. He tells them again that he's leaving soon, but they cannot accompany him. And that's when the disciples protest with questions. Well, where in the world are you going? And can we come? And why not? So listen to what happens in that previous chapter. Peter interjects, No, Jesus. I would die for you. And that's when Jesus put his lovely hand on his hip and says, Now, Peter. I'm paraphrasing what he says. You won't be dying anytime soon on my behalf, Peter. Because before the start of this next day that's coming, you'll be denying that you even know me. So this puzzles the disciples. Like, wait, what is happening right now? What is happening? You're turning our world upside down. You're serving us. You're washing our feet. That's a servant's job. You're telling us that someone's going to betray you. You're saying that you're leaving. Why are you leaving? As we can't go where you're going. What is happening? And then you're going to say that one of the lead disciples is going to also betray you and deny that he even knows you? Oh, this is why they're in a tizzy. Jesus has already turned their world upside down when they first began to follow him. Their time with Jesus has revealed so much about who God is and who they are because of Jesus Christ. So they're just getting used to being with him and learning so much more about the word that they've studied since they were young people growing up in the synagogue. So he's really flipped their world upside down. God is being revealed to them because they've been sitting and learning at Jesus' feet. And now he's flipping their world upside down again with these latest things that he's telling them. What in the world? In this one day, in these brief conversations, it's bringing their world to a catastrophic end. What is happening, Jesus? There's too much negative, and they question how they can overcome any of it. Again, there's betrayal. There's their own jockeying for positions of wanting to be powerful and prestigious in the kingdom of God. And Jesus saying he's finally leaving, like, really, really, I'm leaving. He said that to them before, but he stayed with them all this time. Right? And why are you leaving? I still don't get what's happening. If you're the Messiah, why are you leaving and going anywhere? You should be here to avenge us, to take over. But no, that's not what's going to happen. He's leaving and, wait, what? We can't go with you? So after all those things is when Jesus assures them, don't be afraid. Believe that he is going to complete the work that God has sent him to accomplish. Don't worry, he says. Don't let your heart be troubled. But despite his words of comfort, the disciples continue their protest. Jesus explains the reason he's leaving is to prepare a place for each one so that they can live with God. It's a very fascinating thing that he says to them. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And Jesus tries to comfort them by saying they know where he's going. And that's why they're like, wait, what? That's why Thomas says, no, we don't. We don't know where you're going. And so we can't possibly know the way. I mean, like, we're already in Jerusalem. Are you going to Damascus? We know that road. What you doing, Jesus? Are you going to Egypt? We need a map of where you're going so that we can follow. So Jesus' response to Thomas is a combo of the three, remember we talked about it last week, the I am statements? So he gives him three I ams. John proves who Jesus is by highlighting the various times that Jesus reveals himself by making those I am statements, right? And so this is one of those occasions where he throws them out to his disciples. By Jesus using I am, he actually is equating himself to God and shows his disciples who he is. Now remember, you got to go back to scripture. And for them, scripture, their Bible, is the Old Testament, right? We have both the Old and the New. But the disciples at that time only had the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament is where you see God declaring, I am. And so listen to what happens. In the Old Testament, God instructs Moses to tell the people, should they ask who sent him? Because Moses says, well, who am I supposed to say I'm representing when I go? And God says to him, tell them that I am sent you. So Jesus is declaring, I am God, and the one true I am sent me. So he says to Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and life. Jesus is the way to access a relationship with God and access an abundant life. Last week, he told his disciples that he was the gate. Remember? He is the gate that the sheep went through to access protection at night and nourishment by day. I am the gate. Jesus is the way. If you want to have a relationship with God, if you want to live an abundant life here and now, and then after this world is over, you must go through the gate. You must travel on the road of Jesus because he is the way. That's what he says. He is God's promise of the Messiah realized. And this is why Jesus says, I am truth, because he is the ultimate truth with a capital T. He is truth because he is the word of God that became human. And I love the way it's Paul who is writing that says, he put on flesh and tabernacled among us. He lived among us. He built his living space, this dwelling space to be with human beings. He is the very literal word of God that has taken on human flesh. And this is why he's the truth. He is God's promise of the Messiah realized. God told the people of Israel that he would send a savior. And it took a really long time, many generations, but the Messiah finally came. He came in the form of Jesus Christ. So Jesus proves God is real. He's a true God. He's not a myth or a legend or something in our imagination. He is true. He truly exists. And not only is he real, he is a God of his word. He keeps his promises. So Jesus is the way. He is the truth. Jesus is life, because not only does he save us from our sins, remember that is his job as the Passover lamb, is to save us from our sins so that we can be in right standing with God, but he also gives us a good life right here, right now. Because God is living in us and he enhances our present life. This is what Jesus was trying to explain when he said he was the good shepherd. Remember, he says, I am the good shepherd. And what does a good shepherd do? I'm going to protect you. I'm going to guide you to those places where you can drink clean water, not dangerous places. So the thing about taking care of sheep, you don't want them near running waters or waters that can carry them away. You give them, you bring them to drink by still waters so they can jump in, bend over, and drink from it. And if they accidentally fall in, the river's not going to wash them downstream. They're going to be safe. So Jesus is saying, I'm that good shepherd. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to guide you. I'm going to provide for you. So when we have that beautiful poem in the book of Psalms, that of those green pastures, that symbolizes all of the beautiful things, all of the nourishment, everything that you need, God is going to take care of it for you. So this is why Jesus says, I am that good shepherd. I give you not only eternal life, but an abundant life right here, right now. So don't be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. Because you are living right here and right now. We're not in heaven just yet. So while you are here, the love of God should be inside of you. God's power lives inside of you so that you can live a victorious life. That's what he says, I am your good shepherd. He leads the sheep into safe and plush pastures, giving them all the things that they need to thrive. Jesus is the answer for the life after this one and for the life that we are living right here, right now. So essentially he says to Thomas, Thomas, I am the map. Because you have seen me, you've seen God. Because you know me, they've spent several years with him now. Because you know me, you know God. Because I am, so you are. It's a great revelation that he's speaking to them. And again, you know, they're not the brightest. So some of this passes over their heads. But thank God for his holy word, because we get to benefit from it. And we can read and go, oh, I see what he's saying. I get it. Because I am, so you are. That's some good words there, Jesus. Because Jesus is the way, because he's truth, because he's life, we have a way back to God. We know the truth about God, and we know the truth about ourselves, and we have life through Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? All the things that he does, because he's the way, he's the truth, he's the life, he is the great I am. And because he is, we then get to be just like him. It's a beautiful thing. Thank you, Jesus, for your word, for becoming flesh and living among us. He says, because I am, so you are, to Thomas. And this is why we have life through Jesus Christ. And you would think, again, that this explanation was good enough and well received. But yet, when you look at the scripture, there's another protest. This time it's Philip who pipes up, right? Well, show us the Father. Now, in my sanctified imagination, Brother Bill, I think this is where Jesus has an out-of-body experience. He's just like, okay, what is happening right now? If he were on camera, he would look into the camera. You know how they do on TV sometimes? And go like, really? Really? In the words of our dear friend, Landon, seriously? Seriously, bruh? How long have we been together? Have we not been 2 to 3 years together? What is happening right now? What is happening? Have you not been listening to anything I have said? How did this happen? I know he had those moments where he was talking to God. Now, see, these are the disciples you gave me? Really? This, really? But they are there because we are like them, Sister Carolyn. Sometimes God is right, and Jesus is right here next to us, standing next to us, trying to show us the way. And we keep just over-talking him and not listening and doing our own thing. He's like, okay, wow, for real? You just asked me to show you the way, and now you're going to, and you listen to your friend. And you know they don't have this sense. Why are you listening to them? Listen to me. Jesus had that out-of-body experience with his disciples as he's trying to once again show them, no. You've been around me. You've seen God. You know who God is. Now, the cleaned up, sanctified version is what John reports. You know, he has those nice words. He doesn't diss his fellow disciples. He says, Jesus, he does say that Jesus gets a little sassy with Philip and explains for everyone to understand, including Philip, that seeing Jesus means you have seen God. Why? Because God sent Jesus. He is God's Messiah. Jesus didn't come on his own volition. He's not like, okay, I'm here, I'm the new guy in town, and I'm the new God, and so do these things my way. That's not what Jesus did. From day one, he said, I am here to do my Father's business, even when he was a young man. These words coming out of my mouth, they're not my words. Those are God's words. These things that I'm doing, it's not to glorify my own self. It's to glorify God. Right? So he says, you've seen God because you've seen me. I am his representative. I am his answered promise. So when Jesus speaks, he's saying that what God told him to say, when he performs a miracle, he's empowered by the Holy Spirit of God to do so. And again, that miracle is done for God's glory. Now, Jesus is being who God sent him to be, and he's doing likewise. And so this is why Jesus says, these are very crucial words you have to understand. If you believe God is in him and he is in God, then you have seen God himself. And if you don't believe those words, at least believe his actions. And what have we seen of Jesus? We've seen him doing some wonderful things, revealing who God is, being friendly to those who are friendless, working with the outcasts, trying to show them who God is, and bringing them to salvation. So if you can't hear the words that he's preaching, at least watch what he's doing. That's what he says to his disciples. And with that, you can't argue, because it's like, oh, right, you are doing all of these things that we have not seen other people do. And yet, some of the things that we've seen other people do, there's something different about it, right? And why is it different? Because he's there representing God. He is God's Messiah. So believe in what you've seen him do. We come to now one of, I think, is my favorite passage, this verse 12. I love it. He says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done. And listen to this. Even greater, Sister Vicky, he says. Even greater works. Why? Because I am going to be with the Father. This is why Jesus had to leave. He couldn't come and stay here. He had to come, do a work, complete it, and go back to the Father. And with him going back to the Father, we now get to inherit his ministry. We now get to experience another part of who God is his Holy Spirit living in us, empowering us, giving us wisdom, giving us understanding so that we can do better. That we can actually be the people God created us to be. So Jesus says, this is why I got to leave. I got to go prepare the place. And while I'm going to my Father, he's working some other things out for you. And now Jesus gives his disciples one more reason to not be discouraged, to not be rattled by their situation that they currently find themselves in. He says, because he's going to be with the Father, not only will I prepare a place for you, not only am I going to return for you, because that's part of the promise, but that he is passing on to them the very same ministry that he has. They will do like Jesus and even greater. And so when I read this passage, I think to myself, wow, did he just say what I think he says to the Lord? Did he just really say that they're going to actually do greater things? I mean, how can we possibly do greater than raise someone from the dead? Feed thousands of people with a meal that was the size, only prepared for one person. Maybe two if you're going to share with your friend. How can we do something greater than give sight to a blind person, It's fascinating that Jesus would say those words. But when I think about it, I stop and go, oh, yes. But that Paul did say these words, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So it's like, oh, yeah, right. So with Jesus being gone, now that we have his Holy Spirit, the power is limitless, really. There's some really cool things that we can do that Jesus was not able to do, being only one person and in that specific point and place and time. So we have to remember his words, I am, so you are. Yes. And so Jesus said to his disciples, as he says to us today, that because we are more in number, right? This is why he taught his disciples. There were 12 intimate ones, but there were many outside of the 12. He was only one person. But because he grants the ministry to those 12 and those beyond and to even us today, we are magnifying his reach. This is how we do more than Jesus could ever have done, because he was just one. But now we are all a part of the family of God. Look at what we get to do to build the kingdom for God's glory. Because we have God's Holy Spirit, because we have things like modern technology. Jesus physically sat and spoke to a group of people at any given one place in time, right? He didn't have modern technology like we do. He didn't have a streaming ability so that, yes, we're in this space right here, right now, but there are people also watching online. How many more people are going to access this video later? And it's going to reach so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so, right? That's what he said. Oh, but you've got some things you're going to do greater than I. Why? Because I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And as I go to prepare a place for you, the Holy Spirit's going to come and work in you and empower you to do greater things. There are places that Jesus did not go that we get to go. Haley, he didn't get to work in a store, but you do. Who are those people that God is bringing through your line? Huh? There are languages that Jesus didn't speak. How many of us know different languages? You may know sign language. You may know some other languages. And you get to bring the gospel to those people who never heard Jesus speaking in Aramaic or reading out of the Hebrew Old Testament. We are meeting people he could not meet. We are his hands extended into this world, doing the greater things on his behalf. So Jesus is relying on us to continue his ministry, to help the people around us experience God. We should be able to say, like Jesus, if you've seen me and you know me, guess what? You've now seen God. You can now know God. Why? Because I am following God. I am doing what he's called me to do. I am being who he has created me to be. This is how we continue the ministry of Christ. So as we close, let's remember Jesus' words on that night. Don't let this world rattle you. You trust God, don't you? And if we trust God, we can then trust Jesus. He came to be God's example among us and to say what God told him to say, to do what God called him to do. Because Jesus is our answer, our way back to God, the truth of God's word made flesh. He is our life giver. We can be like him and do as he did. Because of the great I am, our very existence is wrapped up in him. Because of Jesus, we are more than conquerors, as Paul said. We can have abundant life, as John says in chapter 10. We know God and have seen God because we know Jesus. So may Jesus' words inspire you this week. Don't let this world rattle you, because I am, you are. Pray with me. Thank you, God. Thank you for your holy word. I pray that your word reigns in our hearts this week. Help us to remember you are the great I am, and that because of the victory in Jesus, we can overcome life's obstacles because you are with us, whether it be finances or broken relationships, mental or physical ailments, challenges at work or in our neighborhood, whatever it is, God. You have made a way for us to be victorious in all of those things. Thank you, God, for your peace and for your power through your Holy Spirit. We bless your holy name. Amen. All right, we have a closing song, and then I'll come back with our benediction. And I also want to share with you our sister church in Hillsboro. They are having today, they're celebrating the burning of their mortgage. They have paid off their property. Amen. And so we rejoice with them. Thank God that he is continuing to use them to reach their community. Let's sing.
And isn't it a blessing that God works out these songs to fit? We have the blessed assurance of Jesus that now we know God too. So what a blessing. All right, blessed assurance.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending ring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Amen.
Yes, thank the Lord for being with us, that we have that blessed assurance that he is the Messiah. He did die for us. He didn't stay dead. He rose, went back to heaven, and he's coming back for us.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So with those words, my dear brothers, my dear sisters, my siblings in Christ, go knowing that the Spirit of God is in you to empower you to be bold, to be brave, to shine your light and to be salt among those who really need to know who Jesus is. Go in God's grace, go in his peace. Until we meet again, God be with you.
Amen. Oh.